What was really important was that we had rescued a large amount of shale in 1999 when they cut back the road cutting. Otherwise, the site would have been lost because the full significance of the site wasn't yet completely understood. So we had rescued all those rocks, and it was actually whilst splitting through rocks rescued in 1999 from near Waterloo Farm that I found the original adult lamprey, which we published in 2006. And because that adult lamprey was of what was the oldest lamprey in the world, and that was really important because lampreys have this special position in biological thinking about origins. And that is the reason why they have that special place, is because they are, them together with hagfish, which are less accessible, they are the only surviving jawless vertebrates. So in looking for clues as to the origin of jawless vertebrates, people have often looked at lampreys. So that original adult lamprey that we described in 2006 was really important because it demonstrated that lampreys had hardly changed for 360 million years and were really ancient. But part of the thing about lampreys is this development from in modern lampreys from amacetes into adult lampreys. So although the original specimen we described indicated that lampreys were really ancient, it didn't tell us anything about amacetes. So the biggest question that came out of the description of the adult lamprey in 2006 was, what did the juvenile lampreys look like? So going back to those sheds splitting rocks, I had a lot of questions to ask those rocks. I still have a lot of questions to ask those rocks, because the more things we discover, the more questions arise. So on my want list, obviously, was, what did the juveniles of these lampreys look like? And so splitting through those rocks, I started finding some, and it took years, you know, I mean, I'd only find a juvenile lamprey every year or two whilst going through those rocks. But when it's just splitting those layers of shale carefully, and some of these things are really tiny. Well, I mean, 1.5 centimeters long is the smallest one we found. So in that way, really good for finding these tiny things, that we've got the rocks in sheds where one can just go through one block of rock in a day. Because when it's out in the sun and you're hammering at the rocks with a hammer and that, you would probably miss them. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The years before we rescued the rocks, we never found any fossil lampreys at all. And that's because you're working in the dust and the sun and the heat, and you're looking for those spectacular looking things. But many of the fossils actually from Waterloo Farm, the most important ones, are not necessarily the big spectacular picturesque ones. They're not the mantelpieces. So all but one of the new ones I found were in those rocks that we rescued there. The smallest one, the yolk sac one, which is the real clincher here, I actually found in 2007-2008 season when they cut back the roadworks again, and it was actually in an adjacent layer, and I found it actually on the site whilst sampling on the site.
Did you have a eureka moment? Did you feel, wow, I found something incredible, or did it sort of slowly dawn on you the importance of what you found?
Each of the ones I've found has shown something a little bit different. So each of them has been very exciting to find. And that smallest one I found on the roadworks, I mean, that was really exciting to find that. The full eureka moment only came later, to be honest, when we sat down and analyzed them all. So, I mean, I knew I was putting together what we needed, which was a life history of lampreys. So each piece of the puzzle, as I found it, was very exciting. But it was only when we put the puzzle pieces together and looked at what the story that had come out of the evidence was that we realized that, hang on, there's no room for an amacete in this series, because the smallest one seems to have a yolk sac already, so it must have just hatched. So that's really the eureka moment, was when we realized that there was no room for amacetes in this life cycle.
The black shale that you found at Waterloo Farm have yielded very important finds so far. Mm. And it's kind of made it your life work. How important is it in the big picture of paleontology or biology?
Well, Waterloo Farm is one of the most important sites of the latest Devonian age in the world. So we have this thing on our doorstep, and it's kind of interesting. It seems hard to believe, really, that we have this really important site. But we do. It's the only marginal marine site from the latest Devonian that preserves soft tissue, has what we call exceptional preservation. So the Fermenian age is the last age of the Devonian, and it is the only Fermenian site with good special preservation of soft tissue. So it gives a unique window into faunas, or it's the only marginal marine one, I should say. There are some deep marine ones that do have soft tissue preservation, but obviously they have entirely different organisms. So it gives a unique window into the soft tissue organisms and the soft tissue of organisms in the Fermenian. Apart from that, it's the only site with a fairly comprehensive record of vertebrates and of plants, which comes from a high latitude setting anywhere in the world from the Fermenian.
How can the people of Makanda appreciate the value of the site?
I think that it would be very useful for the people of Makanda if we could probably find some way of having a more comprehensive display on this material, where the people of Makanda can actually see some of the fossils and can see reconstructions of what they represent and how, what the picture we've put together, and some explanation of how we reconstruct them and what they tell us would help to make it a lot more real. And what we also really could do would be to develop, if we could develop a display of such an important site in conjunction with the roadside display on these fossil sites that we're producing with SANRAL, this could become a really important and unique part of Makanda's tourism product. And what is really great about it, is about the site, is that being so ancient, it is actually everyone's heritage. So unlike so much of Makanda's heritage, which is tied up with colonialism and other issues where, from different perspectives, it isn't unifying. The Waterloo Farm and our unique fossil site is so ancient that it is something common to everyone. It's something that all people can be equally proud of, and as a tourist product, it could help to rebuild Makanda's tourist portfolio around something which is unifying but also of international significance.